This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, brothers and sisters and friends, and welcome to the Sapience Institute Dhul Hijjah series, The Shepherd's Way. Timeless leadership lessons for life and dawah. So what is this series all about, brothers and sisters? Sapience Institute's vision is a world that receives the message of Islam. And our strategic focus is that we, as a team, defend and share Islam academically and intellectually, and we train and empower and develop others to do so the same. Part of this is creating leaders. And this is very significant. So we felt it was of paramount importance to empower you with timeless leadership lessons in order to facilitate your journey to go out there in the world, in order for the world to receive the message of Islam, and for you to become a leader so you can share and defend Islam academically and intellectually. And brothers and sisters, it is extremely important for us to have these lessons, not only in our dawah life, in sharing and defending Islam academically and intellectually, but also in our private lives too. If I were to summarize the whole series, I will define it in the following way. Be principled. If you had a choice between power, authority, and principles, and you chose power and authority over principles, your power will become your weakness. And if you chose principles over power, your principles will become your strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 11, verse 49, "So be patient. Surely the ultimate outcome belongs only to the righteous." Brothers and sisters, these timeless lessons can be derived from my own experience. Many of you may not know, but I was the CEO of iEra from April 2017 to around February 2020. And alhamdulillah, by the will and mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we increased international operations by over 1,000%, and we increased our funding by over 500%. In May 2020, I was given the mandate to lead and set up Sapience Institute. And this involved developing its vision and implementing its strategy. And I've realized, brothers and sisters, that these lessons and the principles that you can derive from these lessons are timeless and much needed. So brothers and sisters, in this series, we're going to be unpacking 10 timeless leadership lessons. And let me summarize them for you now. Number one, lofty goals lead to success. In other words, be visionary. Number two, necessity achieves. In other words, be strategic. Number three, a leader loved is a leader followed. In other words, be empathic, be compassionate. Number four, the servant leads, the master concedes. In other words, be a servant. Number five, when you become, you overcome. In other words, be courageous. Number six, relevance is excellence. In other words, be wise. Number seven, the enemy is the enemy. In other words, be egoless, or as egoless as you can be. Number eight, enroll, don't control. In other words, be an example. Number nine, how you relate is what you create. In other words, be a mentor. Number 10, achievements are divine gifts. In other words, be grateful. Now, yes, some of these statements are ambiguous. You may not know what they mean, but this is the whole point of the series, to unpack them and to give you these timeless lessons. Now, the whole basis of this series is based on a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for his flock. So these timeless leadership lessons, yes, they can be applied and they should be applied in a dawah context when we're sharing Islam academically and intellectually, but they can also be applied in every aspect of your life, including your personal life. So the first lesson, brothers and sisters, is lofty goals lead to success. What does this mean? This means be visionary, have a vision. Now, what is a vision? Now, Professor Stanley Ridgely defines a vision as an articulation of a powerful, achievable, and motivating stretch goal. Now, I don't want to unpack all the nuances behind this definition, but I think in our context, it's more appropriate to define a vision as where you want to see the world and where you see yourself in where you want to see the world. So those two things are going to be connected. Let me give an example. Here's where I want to see the world. A world led by Islam. Okay, that's the global vision. What about my individual, personal vision that connects to that? Well, in that context, my personal vision would be that I am led by Islam and can lead with Islamic principles. So as you can see, the vision for the world, the global vision, and my personal individual vision are connected. Now, from an Islamic perspective, brothers and sisters, a vision should be based on three main things: the love of Allah, certainty, and Islamic values. Okay, what does this mean? When we say the love of Allah, it means it should be done for His sake, and that you should seek the best in this life and the best in the life to come. When we say it must be based on certainty, it should be based on core Islamic principles and in the unwavering belief in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that would mean that we affirm Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and in this context that we rely on Him, because everything that happens in this cosmos happens because of the irada, the will and qudra, power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our vision, brothers and sisters, must be based on Islamic values. This means it should please Allah. Let's unpack this a little bit. It means, brothers and sisters, that we should ask the following profound question. What is most pleasing to Allah in this context? I repeat, what is most pleasing to Allah in this context? This is extremely significant, brothers and sisters, because it would elevate our game. We'll have more barakah in our work, in our private life and our public life. Because we're not just going to say what is permissible and what is impermissible. It's not just the halal and the haram. Don't get me wrong. The halal is pleasing to Allah. But in Islamic ethics, there is a hierarchy of values. There is a hierarchy of what is permissible. Meaning some things that are permissible are less pleasing than others. We should seek the higher value and we will have barakah in our private and public lives, brothers and sisters. Now, there are various benefits of having a vision. Number one, it provides focus and direction. Why? Because you know where you're going. Number two, it gives you clarity because you know how to get there. And that's going to make more sense when we address the second lesson, which is necessity achieves. In other words, have a strategy, be strategic. Number three, it gives you life, especially if we connect our vision to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in the Quran, O you who have believed, respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger to that which gives you life. Number four, it removes doubt. Why? Because your vision is based on certainty. And interestingly, the 14th century theologian Ibn Qayyum al-Jawziyyah said, regarding the fitna of shubuhat, regarding the trial or tribulation of destructive doubts, this is due to having a weak vision and a lack of knowledge. So he linked having a weak vision 2, shubuhat, destructive doubts. Number 5, it saves time because you know what needs to be done. Number 6, it helps shape your environment and your social circles because your vision defines you. Therefore, the way you relate to other people will be based in that context. Number 7, it provides motivation and keeps you going. Why? Because you have a vision now. You see the end goal. Number 8, it helps you transcend petty issues and life's obstacles because your vision is the bigger picture and it's linked to Allah's pleasure. Therefore, you will always ask, what is most pleasing to Allah? It won't be just about yourself. Number 9, it gives you a framework for decision making. Why? Because your life will be aligned to your vision. So here are some key questions to help build your world vision, your global vision, and your personal individual vision that would link to your world vision. The first question is, where do you want to see the world? The second question is, where do you see yourself in where you want to see the world? So here are some further questions to help you develop your world and personal vision. What are you passionate about? What are you competent in? What drives you? What do you desire? What do you think and talk about the most? What is important to you? How do your close friends and family describe you? Now, brothers and sisters, before you even answer these questions, it's very important to think big. Thinking big means think akhirah, think the hereafter. Link your vision to the hereafter. The hereafter is eternal. This dunya, this world is finite. And Allah tells us to think big. And thinking big means you want the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. But if you just want a portion of this world, then you will not be successful. What does Allah say in the second chapter, verses 200 and 201? There are those among mankind who say, "Our Lord, give us good of this world," and they have no portion of the hereafter. And there are those who say, "Our Lord, give us good of this world and the hereafter." So Allah is indicating that our success lies in thinking big, which means wanting the best in this life and the hereafter. If you just want the best in this life, you will get no portion in the hereafter. And thinking big is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, in a hadith that is narrated by Ibn Majah, and you could find it in Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you ask Allah for Jannah, for paradise, specifically ask Him for Al-Firdaus, the highest level of paradise, for it is the highest level of Jannah. And think big, brothers and sisters, because Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Allah is greater than any of our perceived limitations, our limited experiences, and what we consider to be obstacles. Remember, everything happens because of the will and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing escapes His irada. Nothing escapes His qudra. Do not be bounded by our negative self-talk and negative limited experiences and perceptions. Rely on Allah, who is boundless, free of limitation. Now, brothers and sisters, to help us think big, we should look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see how to think big. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is narrated by Imam Ahmad, and it's an authentic hadith. He said, "This matter," in other words, Islam, "will certainly reach every place touched by the night and day. Allah will not leave a house or residence, but that Allah will cause His religion to enter it, by which the honorable will be honored and the disgraceful will be disgraced. Allah will honor the honorable with Islam and He will disgrace the disgraceful with unbelief." Look at the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Basically, his vision was Islam will enter every home in the world. So to conclude, brothers and sisters, our first episode of our Dhul Hijjah series, remember that lofty goals lead to success. And think big, because Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. And make sure your vision is linked to the love of Allah, certainty in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's based on the timeless Islamic values. Now, to end, brothers and sisters, I'd like to remind you that we are experiencing the very special days of Dhul-Hijjah. And remember, and as you know, the deeds performed during these days are more rewardable than the deeds performed during the days of Ramadan. So we ask you, brothers and sisters, for you to support our vision, the vision of Sapience Institute, which is a world that receives the message of Islam. So please support us, brothers and sisters. Click the button or the link below and donate now.